Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Wonderful, that's what they call me around here, among other things, but Mr. Wonderful is the one I like the best. Mr. President, sometimes they call me Mr. President, and there are a few other things they call me that I can't mention on the air because it is a family show. Welcome back, it's 34 After, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Sam Norwood's here too. Sam's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's a senior partner with Tatum LLC, which is an outstanding organization, of which we'll tell you more about a little bit later on. And Sam joins us once a month to report to us on a survey of economic conditions that he has conducted, a poll that he takes of hundreds of his partners all across the country. These are managers of businesses across the country, financial managers, intellectual technology, IT professionals, I should say, across the country. And he asked them how the economy's going. What are you seeing this month, and what do you think you're going to be seeing in the next 2 months? And they give him that information. He compiles it into a report, and he brings it to us. Isn't that nice of him? He's a nice guy. Sam, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks. It's always fun to be with you, Jim, and to be able to share the results of our survey. We have now about 600 partners across the country in 33 markets, and we're providing executive services to all kinds of businesses, large and small, and in virtually every major industry. And we're asking these executives how they see it with their client businesses in their particular markets. And we have kind of a captive audience, these being my partners.
Now, Sam, these partners, when you started doing this with me, you only had about 300 partners. Now you got about 600. So, I think, don't you need to say thank you to me or something? You know, I mean,
it's all your fault, Jim.
Don't you think I've contributed to this incredible growth you've had?
I sure hope so.
I'm sure the check's in the mail too, right?
we have been growing the concept of outsourcing for talent when you need it, to focus on projects and to fill needs as needed is really a growing part of our economy, and it's great for small businesses and medium businesses. Large businesses may be able to fill their own needs through their own internal sources, but it's really more efficient for businesses of any size to bring in what they need when they need it, and then
just in time, not just in case.
When it's not needed anymore, thank you very much, and off we go.
That's right. So, you know, Sam, I think Lou Dobbs is dangerous, and I think outsourcing is the best thing that ever happened to small business. What do you think?
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, back years ago, many years ago, people thought, well, in order to guarantee our quality, we need to do it all internally and so on. Well, outsourcing really brings focus to talent, and it brings people who are really committed to doing one thing really, really well and can do it for many clients and many situations, and that's what we do.
Well, and the thing is that it allows companies to focus on their core competencies.
Yeah.
And I believe that the reason why, that the single most important reason why the U.S. economy is not only growing but expanding and is as robust and as resilient as it is today, I believe 100% of the reason is outsourcing.
Well, it also helps control inflation because it helps control costs.
That's my point. All part of my point.
It keeps the margins up when other costs are rising. Then it's one way of cutting costs and getting a better result at the same time.
That's exactly right. So what did your partners tell you?
Well, we think the economy is percolating along really well. You know, the bottom was reached in 2006 around August and September. and the Fed stopped raising interest rates, the short-term rates, in August. And thank goodness it was just in time. And in a rare instance, apparently we're having what's always hoped for but rarely seen, and that is a soft landing. Mm-hmm. The economy slowed down, but it didn't go negative. And now it's percolating back up, and our indications are that it's been pretty much straight up since August. Not to the same level that we saw a year ago in terms of growth rate, which was not sustainable, but to a really sustainable growth rate where inflation is controlled.
And Sam, 6 months ago, when you mentioned the R word, who said that we were going to have a soft landing? Who told you that we were going to have a soft landing?
Well, Jim, I just have to give credit where it's due, and you're right.
That would be me. Stand by, Sam. We got to stand by, Sam. We got to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Rock and roll, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's 17 till. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Sam Norwood, senior partner with Tatum LLC, and we're talking about the recent survey that he has conducted with his partners across the country, and they're telling you, Sam, that just as I predicted, that we're actually in the middle of a kind of a soft landing to what could have been if the economy had been structured the way it was 30 years ago, we might have had a recession. You know, Sam, if you look back at all the recessions that we've had, all the slowdowns, really, I don't think we've had a true recession, since the early 80s. But since then, every slowdown we've had has been softer and softer, hasn't it?
Well, it seems to have been. The last real one, I think, was 19... we had one following the bubble in technology that peaked in
we've had two others. 91 we had one, and then 2002 we had one, but that was actually 2000 and 2001.
Yeah,
but neither one of those were really not like we had in like the 70s and the 80s.
Oh, the 1974-75 was just a horror show.
Yeah,
and so was 1970-71. But 74-75 was a real horror show, and it was an adjustment to the OPEC oil prices, which, by the way, you've been reading recently, the oil prices have been coming down.
The bottom has dropped
out
of it.
50 now,
yeah.
Up down from about 78 down to 50.
Right.
I haven't noticed it much at the pumps, but it will.
When is gas price coming down?
Well, it's got to be coming, and it will come, but they're leads and lags, and naturally the gas retailers are going to try to keep it up there as high, as long as they can, and then ultimately competition will bring the price down to the current reality, and then inevitably, because things go in waves, we'll see oil prices go back up.
But when they go up,
when oil prices go up, though,
gas prices go up immediately. They don't wait on that.
They try to be pretty fast on the uptake.
That's just like a bank responding to lower interest rates from the Fed. You know, they go down slow, but they go up fast.
Yeah. Well, that's the nature. You gotta make it when you can.
So, what are your folks telling you about this month? Your partners.
The two strongest indicators. We ask a variety of questions having to do with the economy. We ask them, like, overall up or down last 30 days, looking out 60 days. We're not long-term. We're like trying to keep a pulse on the current situation. And the current situation, the very strongest indicator within the overall scene has to do with employment. And you remember when we first started percolating up in this current in the up cycle 2-3 years ago, and everybody was critical that employment was if the economy is going up, how come employment is not? Well, in part because we're getting more efficient.
Yep.
But now employment, even as tight as employment is, that is really strong now. People are scraping for talent, and it's and it's a good thing, I think, for people and the health of the economy. It will you'll be reading in the newspapers about how it may be pushing inflationary pressures a little bit, but right now employment looks really strong and financing conditions look really strong, and that's a good indication too.
That's
the
very good.
Loosening up again. Yeah, after the recessionary sort of scare, or, you know, like how soft is this going to go, the banks tightened up and who they would lend to and how, you know, it was a little. But now that they're loosening up, interest rates are still low by historic standards.
Mm-hmm.
And so businesses can get capital when they need it. If the business justifies it, they can get the capital.
And they can afford the cost of money, too.
Yes, they can.
In this marketplace, you can afford the cost of money.
Exactly. The opportunity is there. If the opportunity is there and you run your business with a reasonable profit, then you can get all the capital you need. And that's one of the things that we help our clients do as well in our role as chief financial officer.
The difference between what we have, the economy we have now, and the economy we have in the 90s, you got a lot of people out there who are longing for the 90s. You know, when the economy was a certain way, they thought it was. The truth is, we had a lot of artificial employment in the 90s. People were in jobs that weren't really, they were working for companies that really shouldn't have even been in business. In the 21st century, the businesses that survive today are the ones that have real models that are viable in the marketplace, and those jobs are solid jobs. They're not fictitious, make-believe jobs like we had, like many of which we had in the 90s.
We squeezed out in the 1990s. Businesses generally squeezed out duplicative and unnecessary. Employees on hand, and it was a wrenching kind of an adjustment, and so the businesses that have survived the best have adapted to the new times, and the individuals who have survived the best and are enjoying full employment are those who also have adjusted to the times.
And also, we've got more and more people who are being trained for 21st century assignments.
Yes, exactly.
And it's taken us about 5 years to make that happen.
It's a matter of flexibility and seeking out employment and opportunity.
Exactly, and education. We've got more and more people are trained for 21st century assignments, and it's getting better every year. We still have a ways to go. Quick break. Sam Norwood and I will be right back. It's 10 Tales. Stay with us. There's Jimmy with an eye, with two eyes, actually. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. You don't spell my name. My name with two eyes. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Sam Norwood is our guest. He's all over our website, including his survey, which we post on our homepage every month, and which he allows us to do. We thank him for that. And Sam, give us your website and tell us quickly a little bit about Tatum.
Yes, the website for Tatum is TatumLLC.com, T-A-T-U-M, and we're an executive services outsourcing company where our partners remain partners with us and our principals remain principals with us, but perform management services principally in the financial and executive and information technology areas for businesses, small, medium, and large.
So if I have a business that's emerging, that's growing, and I need the services of a high-powered CFO or chief information officer, but I'm not really ready to pony up a couple hundred thousand a year for a real thoroughbred, I can basically rent that kind of brain power from you guys 1 or 2 days a week if I want it.
Yes, you can do it part-time. You need the horsepower part-time, but not full-time, fine. Some of our partners will provide be the CFO, function as the CFO for two businesses simultaneously, and be one for two or three days a week and the other for two or three days. And it's a way of a business going through transition of some sort, or one that is growing but not quite there yet. Or sometimes if you have a sudden need, like the CFO either resigns or departs for some reason or is not there and you need it, we can respond more quickly than you're going to the market to try to find one. And but we've noticed that there's no such thing as permanent anymore. That's one of the, Jim, you talked about the difference between now and the 1990s. One of the main differences is that in the 1990s and previously, people looked for, quote, permanent, quote, employment. There's no such thing anymore.
And that's what's opening up so many opportunities for small businesses. And that's one of the reasons why, Sam, 8-9 years ago, I was saying the 21st century would be the century of the entrepreneur. And entrepreneur is going to be defined in the 21st century, is being defined in the 21st century a lot more broadly than it was in the 20th century. Sam, what did your people tell you about what they see coming in the next 60 days?
The next 60 days look positive, not wonderful, not bad, but overall positive. You know, this housing thing is not over yet. The housing problems continue for several months, and that affects some areas of the country more than other areas. But outside of those areas affected by the housing slump, our people are saying it looks good, not great, but it's positive, and by virtue of the interest rates remaining low, it looks as though inflation for the near term is going to remain under control. Backlogs are up, and that's a solid indication that business is going to be good for the next 60 days. And the area that is getting the strongest within industries, the strongest indications for great times is the technology area.
Mm-hmm.
Technology's bouncing back.
Yep.
Now, and the stock market has been reflecting that expectation, and some people think, well, maybe technology is currently, right now, in the stock market, overblown. But stock market anticipates things, our survey confirms that business in the technology area is very strong, healthcare is strong,
mm-hmm.
So those segments are particularly strong in our survey.
You know, Sam, you've given us a lot of great information. Your people are telling you that the capital is available. They're still having the same challenges all of us are in getting good people.
Yep.
The economy is, they're pretty hopeful. They're pretty solid about the economy. The U.S. economy is an amazing organism, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's the engine for the world. And so the question now is, will the world keep up? How are things going around the rest of the world, and we think that it looks pretty solid mm-hmm. to us. And if we can manage our own deficits through all this, which we worry about, both the trade deficit and the spending deficit, will be just fine. The near term looks good.
Sam, thank you for being here. Good job today. Thanks for the great report.
Sure, I'm happy to be with you, Jim.
We'll see you next month.
Being with you next month.
Sam Norwood, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but not till the next hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.